I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support through PayPal at funetworktv@gmail.com and patreon.com/funetworktv. And now, here's your show.
Yum, yum. It's a meal in itself.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
Hello and welcome to Mansplaining. I'm Stephen Kersner. Today we have a humdinger of a topic. This is a bit of a survival guide for men and women working in the workplace today and living in the world today and having to deal with douchebags. Our topic today is how to spot a douchebag, and helping us find those hallmarks of characteristics is our panel. Ryan Ballantyne is with us. Hello, Ryan.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's been a while since I've been here.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you back.
You guys still inviting me.
We keep inviting you. Now you've finally had the time to join us, so I'm glad.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got classic country music star and also lawyer, Paul Doroshenko. Hello, Paul.
Hi, nice to speak with you. Hello, everybody.
And Chris Illtones. He's a, that's his MC DJ handle. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you doing, Stephen?
I'm good. And Aaron Seal, entrepreneur and political activist, is joining us as well. Hello.
Hello, Stephen. Thank you for having me again.
All right. So we all ready to put on our douchebag caps, I guess? Is that even a thing? To help identify how to spot a douchebag. There's a difference between being a jerk and being an ass and being a douchebag. A douchebag is a very specific kind of behavior and a bit often a type of aesthetic. So we'll start first with the physical characteristics that might tip one off that the person that they're speaking to or looking at is a douchebag. And I'll start with Ryan. Ryan, what tips you off when you see somebody and you say, that's got to be a douchebag?
Well, there's a couple things. The T-shirt is probably too tight around some hard gym muscles that you know that they take a lot of pride in showing off. And that's normally under some sort of overly gelled, coiffed hair that might be sitting under a cockeyed cap. Not anything straight or straight backwards, just like off to the side and like above his head and not really on it, if that makes sense.
Those are how
I spot the douchebag from a distance.
Okay, and the I would add that the T-shirt often may not have sleeves.
Yes, some sort of skull on it. used to be Ed Hardy was the big giveaway, but that's kind of faded away now. You know, if you anyone wearing some sort of All Lives Matter shirt would be a good indicator. But and that's you're really veering into douchebag territory.
Okay, Paul, how about you? What are some signs that the person you're looking at might be a douchebag?
Well, defining this is the issue here, and then ultimately we're trying to think about whether or not we can spot a douchebag from a distance, and what sort of evidence, indicia, we say, of impairment when you're looking for an impaired driver. This is indicia of a douchebag, and I've really been puzzling over this as, you know, I was so excited about the topic, and then I started thinking about it, and really it's harder to define, and you know, maybe douchebags are misunderstood, but I think, you know, the first thing I think of in Vancouver is if you're driving a Range Rover,
I draw a
prejudice against Range Rover drivers, but I draw the conclusion if you're an aggressive driver, you're driving a Range Rover aggressively and you're angry at the cyclists, and then you get on your $2,500 bike and you're dressed fully like Spider-Man, and now you're an aggressive cyclist, I guess, you know, that would be a sign. Commercial realtor. That's a possible...
the entire vocation?
Possible indicia. No, I'm not saying all are. I'm just saying possible symptom of it. Any males who deny gender inequality, I would say that's evidence of it. But then you can get into like your interactions. So, you know, somebody who monopolizes the conversation, all the time, unwilling to recognize the feelings of others, has a sense of entitlement. But aggressive driving, I think is a significant likelihood. Now, if you were to assign like a percentage, okay, so there's a bunch of drunk driving material out there that assigns percentage. If your lights are off at 11 o'clock at night, there's a 10% chance that you're impaired. So I think if you're driving a Range Rover, you probably have a 50% chance of being a douchebag. Okay. If you're driving a Range Rover and you're a commercial realtor, you probably bump it up to, you know, another 10%. And then you, the rest would be in presentation, I guess.
Okay. Those are very specific hallmarks of douchebaggery.
It's evidence. It's symptoms of being a douchebag. You know,
outward symptoms. Outward symptoms, yeah. And those are definitely them. How about you, Chris? Signs. I mean, you work in the hip hop arena, the music arena, and there are so many posers in that arena. Many of them pose in ways that indicate douchebaggery. So, what do you see as outward signs of douchebaggery?
Yeah, so like suburban rappers, of which I am one, who act as if they're the hardest inner city thugs on the planet would be a sign of douchebaggery, I would say. I'm not the type to act as if I'm the hardest inner city thug on the planet. I'm just a suburban rapper. But we do see them widespread within the Canadian hip hop community. It is a thing and is a sign of douchebaggery. But I'm also with Paul. Here. So anybody who peels out in a car in public places or drives insanely fast through, a public neighborhood, that to me would be a sign of douchebaggery as well. You don't got to drive, 100 clicks per hour through a residential neighborhood. There are people walking, there are kids around, families, enjoying their day. I like to enjoy my surroundings when I'm walking. I don't want to hear the sound of some little overpriced car driving quickly by me while I'm trying to walk at a leisurely pace.
Okay. And Aaron, outward signs of douchebaggery.
Yeah, in the workplaces that I've been, the biggest outward sign is where you position your body relative to others. And I think of certain individuals who will intentionally come a little too close to you, lean a little bit over you, sort of glare at you, use their body and their vision to sort of intimidate you. And it can even be just as simple as seat placement. Sometimes if you want to intimidate someone, you make a point of taking the seat right across from them and you stare them down. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a douchebaggery behavior, and it's not the only one.
Oh yeah, I mean, the thing that only men do, where if a man is driving and he's behind you and he doesn't determine you're going fast enough, he passes you and does that turn and look at you.
Absolutely.
For some reason. And I never know what that's supposed to indicate. Are we supposed to have a rumble? Like, are you showing your superiority because you're going faster than me? I just don't understand the bro code well enough to know what that's supposed to indicate.
It might be checking to see if you're on your cell phone. Might be checking to see if you're,
How would anybody know nowadays with hands free? Paul, this has been going on long before there were cell phones.
Oh, okay. All right. Sometimes somebody's going abnormally slow in front of me, and I'm looking at them wondering, are they drunk? Are they on their cell? Are they distracted? Are they,
Okay, but to be fair, you're wondering if they're drunk because you want to give them a card.
Well, that's true. I would call them in.
Yeah. Or are they themselves a douchebag? You give the look to see if they themselves are a douchebag.
Douchebags don't go too slow. See, if a douchebag
Yes, they do.
Really?
Because they feel that under those circumstances, they have to educate the person behind them about going slower. So it's part of imposing their will on others.
I don't consider that douchebaggery if you're trying to tell somebody, I'm going the speed limit and I'm not going to go any faster because you're in a hurry. That's not really douchebaggery. That's saying, to me, a douchebag.
Well, but are you going the speed limit or are you going 10 or 15 under?
I've never gone 10 or 15.
Well, yeah, exactly. But douchebags do. Douchebags do. They'll go 10 really? Or 15 under. They'll slowly wheel down the road as though their time is more important than everybody else on the road.
Okay, these are experiences I've not had. With me, douchebags are always, and I'll sometimes see this on the road too, two douchebags, one in front of the other, and the one keeps going faster and faster because he's not going to be out-douched by the person behind him and get lapped. And I think the two things we've missed here though I think it was touched on, with the a lot of product in the hair to make the hair go in ways that hair is not supposed to defy gravity, and indicating that they spent a lot of time that morning to make themselves look that way. Also, the permatans, the somewhat orange
base. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, looks like they may have dipped themselves in a chocolate milkshake. It's a skin pigment that does not occur in nature, and often has certain tells, like the insides of their ears are still remarkably white and looks like light is coming out of them because the rest of them is so dark. So there's those things. Also, if they're carrying around a keychain with like a Porsche fob on it or Aston Martin or some very expensive car, and the keys are to like a Honda hatchback, that's also a sign. Let's talk about not just the looks, but behaviors of douchebags. What are some typical douchebag behaviors? I believe it was Paul mentioned that they try to dominate conversations. But what are some other douchebag behaviors that you...
Spot from a distance is anybody who uses their phone on speaker in a public place, watches videos in a restaurant, or lets their kids watch videos in a restaurant. I mean, those are full-on douchebag maneuvers. And when we talk about assigning a percentage, I think you could say 95% douchebag. If they're in a restaurant or walking through an airport or any public place like that, using their phone on speaker, full-on douchebag.
I think you're right, especially about the douchebags who are parents who let their kids in public places do things which are clearly disturbing to other patrons, other customers, and they just don't give a damn. And if you ever approach them about it, I mean, I had an incident once on a Via Rail train. We were heading to Montreal, and my wife had a terrible headache. And this couple were letting their kids run up and down the aisles screaming. And I don't mind kids being kids and kids laughing and stuff, but this was just beyond the pale. And it turned out that, you know, the woman of the couple worked for Via Rail, and some of her friends were working the shift, so they didn't stop her. And when I went to them and said, look, I understand kids are going to be kids, and I don't want to stop them from having fun, but do you think you can stop them from running up and down the aisles and yelling? My wife has a terrible headache. And this douchebag guy got in my face, flexed his chest, all this other stuff, and I was being about as polite as you're going to be in that circumstance. And he tried to push me. He was like, all of this over, can you just get your kids to stop screaming? Like, no, his kids can do whatever the hell they want. The hell with everybody else. That's a douchebag.
Douchebags can procreate. They can procreate. It's been proven.
Yeah. And they do. Okay, do you have any more, Paul, or should we move on to Ryan?
I don't want to dominate the conversation. Otherwise, I'm going to be thought of as a douchebag.
That's what I was kind of leading you into.
I just wanted to get out the cell phone thing because that one particularly irks me. Holding it like the piece of pizza.
Yeah,
walking through somewhere or using it in a restaurant on speaker, anywhere where they're using it in public on speaker to have a phone conversation, that is high percentage chance, douchebag. They're probably going to let their kids run around and scream on the VIA train.
Okay, Ryan, behaviors of douchebags.
Well, I think you touched on a couple of them, Stephen, when you talked about the overall physical posturing of the douchebag, the chest out, the shoulders back, as though they're going to fight somebody over a simple conversation. This is another tactic is the parking issue. And I know Paul's got an issue with Range Rovers, but where you park a little bit too close to the edge of the space, or over the line of a space and occupy two spaces as though your car deserves to have the extra parking that now doesn't exist for other people. I think that's a massive trait of the douchebag. No matter what car you have, if it's over the line of a parking space, that's it. But when you confront those people about it, they get all puffy and they get very kind of, you know, try and swell themselves up as though to make themselves look more dangerous, no matter the size difference in the person, as though they would physically fight you over a parking space, and to try and imply the threat of physical violence anytime you have a conversation with them where you're calling them out somewhat for being a douchebag.
My brother always pointed out those guys, and he always referred to them as like the gorillas in the mist. You know, they want to dominate their little space. It's so important to them. They're so invested in that parking space, or they're so invested in whatever, that they're willing to threaten to fight you.
I think that they're so like insecure in their own masculinity that they have to perform as masculine so much that they want to keep that performance going with physical aggression or hostility. That's what I've always found. It's like, yeah, they're like silverbacks. They think they're silverbacks in a troop of gorillas, and any discouraging word to them is a challenge to their masculinity, as opposed to, hey, could you park over a little bit more so another guy can get in there? It's not about that.
They get angry. They get angry when they don't get special treatment. You know,
yeah.
They think that they've got this exaggerated sense of self-importance.
All right, Aaron, how about you?
Yeah, when I think about these behaviors and examples like what all of you have listed, in my MBA, I studied a book on this. It's actually called the No Asshole Rule. And the word asshole is used exactly the same way as we're using douchebag, in that middle ground of people. And the description is basically three things. They target weaker people, they make them feel like shit, and they do it constantly. And the last one is the most important as far as I'm concerned, because there's a divide that the book maps out between a temporary douchebag and a certified douchebag. So the temporary one, we can all be douchebags, and I will readily admit that there are times when I tactically employ the tactics of douchebaggery specifically to accomplish specific ends. And if the end is worth the means in Machiavellian terms, I will do it without apology. But the difference is there are some people who do it because that's all they know how to do, because they enjoy doing it. It makes them feel all high and mighty, and they can't do it any other way. And that's the certified douchebag or the certified asshole per the book. And that's the type of person you want nothing to do with.
Okay.
Now, Aaron, give me those three things again. The target weaker people. The last one was do it consistently. What was the one in the middle?
They make them feel like shit. And so that one is the one from, it's the Maya Angelou quote. You don't remember what people did, but you remember how they made you feel. So yeah, the second one is the emotional impact that they have on the people that they target.
Yeah.
What, are you writing a journal about this? Are you going to see a book on Amazon from Paul?
No, I just took a little note about that because I want to make sure that it's, that I'm taking notes.
All right.
You know, I want to be a good podcast member here. And
we don't usually take minutes, you know.
But sounds like you're learning lessons on how to be a better lawyer. That's how I hear it.
Okay.
Well, there's that.
Or writing his next classic country song.
Could be.
Yes, that could be the subject of your next.
The Tale of the Douchebag.
Yeah, or...
Oh, my goodness. All right, let me write that down.
Or how to be a douchebag. Yeah. Okay, Chris?
What about people who talk loudly on cell phones while they're in the line at the bank or at the store, all the while just totally ignoring that the fact that the service staff that are serving them are human beings as well, but they just totally ignore that fact and continue their conversation as if that person doesn't exist.
Well, that's a bit of a variation on what Paul said about people walking, holding their phones like a piece of pizza on speaker and talking. You're right. The people who go up, they're in line, but then when they get to the cashier, they don't stop their conversation or pause it. They just keep talking as if the cashier is just some automaton there to serve them, and they just move their stuff onto the in front of the cashier, and they just pay, and they don't even make eye contact with the cashier. They don't even, sometimes you're on a call, you look at them and you like sort of shrug and apologize with your body. Nothing. They just feel that everyone is there to serve them. So yes, that is definitely a behavior of a douchebag.
Zero acknowledgement that the other person on the other end of the conversation is a human being. I mean, there is, occasion where you might be, you know, waiting on the phone with some organization that you've been on hold with
for an Canada. Hour.
Something
Air
like
Canada.
That, yeah. Air Canada, yeah, for sure. Anything to do with the government, usually. But then you could just say, "Oh, excuse me, I have to pay for my soda or whatever," and then stop talking on the phone for a second, acknowledge the service staff as a human being, thank them, and then go back to your conversation afterwards, right?
Okay, all good signs. Other things that I would add is here's some hallmarks of douchebags. They have ever said. Or had said to them, which included them, bros before hoes. They don't have friends. They have their boys. These are adult people, adult men, who call their friends their boys. And they're not being inaccurate. They actually do have the emotional maturity of children. And the whole idea of a bro code, that I don't even know what that's supposed to be, because I'm not a bro and I'm not, I don't know the secret handshake, but anybody who talks, anybody who uses the word bro, anybody who addresses strangers with, hey bro, or talk, bro is not something, is not a colloquial way to approach somebody if you want to be considered for real, you know, an adult. Hey bro, hey buddy, hey friend, help, excuse me. These are all different ways of approaching it, but yo bro, not cool. That is, it's different if it's coming from a black person, because there's a different cultural lingo there. I still think that probably it's probably outdated, but there's a forgiveness factor there. But white guys calling people bro, no, 100% douchebag. Do not engage.
I call pretty much everybody that I meet buddy, so I'm glad that you have absolved me from douchebaggery by throwing that one in there of the list of terms that is okay.
Well, use. Buddy is slightly dismissive, but it's not terribly insulting. I have a friend who always calls me pal, and it makes me cringe every time. It's like, yeah. Pal is not what you call a friend, but he does. So there's these behaviors, and then there's how douchebags talk to each other and how douchebags talk about women and talk to women. Three categories. I'm going to go with the first one, which is how douchebags talk amongst each other. And what I've noticed is douchebags talk about amongst each other. Every one of them is performing. Every one of them is performing some kind of their perception of what a macho person should say. It doesn't necessarily reflect their feelings. They're certainly not speaking in a way that's designed to engage. It's designed to dominate. It's basically the verbal equivalent of waving their dick around. What about you, Aaron? Thoughts, behaviors about how douchebags talk amongst themselves?
Well, it's, as you say, it's dominance, and it's constant one-upping, it's constant dismissing of the other side, belittling. As you say, it's entirely a dominance behavior. It's about seizing power and intimidating, and as earlier, making people feel like shit.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah, the one-upping. I mean, if somebody, you know, hit a home run in a baseball game, the next person has to have hit three of them and stolen 10 bases. So I would say one-uppery and douchebaggery are synonymous.
Okay. Paul?
You know, the one-uppery one is always such an obvious giveaway to me of insecurity that I kind of just write it off so quickly. But yeah, and I don't run into it that often. Because I don't stop to talk to the guy who's driving the Range Rover, who's leaning on my back of my car, tailing me. For sure, there's no doubt about it that we've seen all of this type of behavior, and that's an issue of the wanting to feel that they're superior without necessarily having the achievements that warrant it, right? Okay. So it's this is something that we're identifying the symptoms of a narcissist, really.
And I think that there's a good deal of narcissism in douchebag behavior. I don't know if they necessarily are narcissists, but they adopt the behavior of narcissists. Ryan, how about you? What are your thoughts on how douchebags talk amongst each other?
Yeah, it's interesting. We used to have a guy in our life that we called Mario, and not because he was Italian, and this isn't casting aspersions on Italians at all. It's in reference to the video game character, because he'd always be chasing that green mushroom of the one-up. Every story you had, he had another one. And even when we test that theory to, you know, make up unbelievable details of our own, the guy would have even more unbelievable details in his stories. And that was, again, a key indicator of the douchebag, is the guy's never going to let you have kind of the most impressive story on the day, even when your story is pretty impressive. They've always got one more. They've always got the ability to be just a little bit better than you are, because they have to be the best in the room. And that certainly extends further into the next topic about how they talk about women.
Okay. Why don't we launch from there? And why don't you launch us? How douchebags talk amongst themselves about women?
Well, women are nothing but conquest. Women are nothing but servants to the douchebag. And how many women you've been with, the variety of women you've been with, the amount of people or how badly you treated them after you had sex with them is all point of pride for the douchebag, because the douchebag doesn't actually care about anyone's feelings. And women, for the male douchebag, are there to be used and discarded rather than treated as human beings.
Okay, that's pretty complete. Aaron, your thoughts, how douchebags talk amongst each other about women?
So I will defer to the comments of a close friend I worked with on Parliament Hill on this one, who I was chatting with in preparation for the episode. And she basically gave me three things. She told me, please, please, please talk about these things. One, they are hypocrites. Two, they are morally bankrupt. And three, they get away with it. And it doesn't matter whether you're dealing with a supervisor, a colleague, or somebody's trying to hit on you at the bar. What it is their motivations are transparent. They are very clearly disconnected from personal values if they may have. They're doing what's convenient. They do it repeatedly. They know what's wrong with it, but they do it anyway. And as they say, they get away with it.
Well, I think that the knowing that it's wrong and doing it anyway is part of the motivation. That you're not going to tell me what to do. I don't bend to society's rules. Society bends to my rules. I mean, we've got a douchebag right now in the White House. With all of those behaviors, the narcissism, the posturing, the aggression in place of actually being a man, all of those things. So it's interesting that she pointed those things out to you. I'm not certain what they're hypocrites about. Was there detail on that?
Well, I don't want to tell stories that aren't mine to tell, and we didn't get into that, but I can only imagine examples like trying to curry favor about what the man might feign as a personal interest, saying, oh, you like that, I like that, I like that too, blah, 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 and it's entirely strategic. They have no genuine interest in whatever the topic is or whatever they're trying to demonstrate knowledge about, but they feel no qualms about trying anyway.
Okay. Chris, you must have heard some dialogues in the MC world about, I mean, there's a lot of male posturing there about how men, douchebag men, talk about women to other douchebag men, or men that they assume are douchebags are going to reward them for their behavior.
Well, any rapper or MC that uses the word ho or bitch in a song is a douchebag to me. I've never used either of those terms. I might talk about dudes as if they're bitches, but never about a woman like that. But also just a man who flirts overtly with a woman in public in front of a peer group. So, I mean, there's a time and a place to flirt with the opposite sex, clearly. But when it's putting a female on the spot in front of her friends or in front of your friends, the discomfort level, should it be, you know, unrequested and unwanted, is going to be 10 times the greater, right? I mean, if we are trying to make ourselves, you know, appealing to the opposite sex, eventually we're going to have to flirt with them and let them know. But to do it in front of others when it kind of puts her on the spot, that to me is douchebaggery. But the ho or bitch being used in a song, not something I appreciate at all. And it is totally widespread throughout rap music, unfortunately.
Okay. Paul?
Well, I think the issue really comes down to the douchebag fails to view other people as human, so they can't really empathize with them. When it comes to women, they're generally looking at them as targets. And when it comes to men, it's about self-aggrandizement, so they talk about women as though they're, you know, successful targets of conquest. And I think, you know, really it's a failure to understand the other and to be able to empathize with other people. And then it's just expressed differently when it's a discussion with men, because it feels like a safe place where you can talk about with your other douchebag men or other men about things that are going to make you feel good. Self-aggrandizement again, and it's making you feel good because you think that you've, you know, taken advantage of somebody.
Okay.
You know, for your own pleasure, right? So that's the discussion of women if you're discussing about that aspect of it. But the rest is sort of just the dehumanizing aspect, because the douchebag is not very good at recognizing that other people have feelings and are humans and can empathize with them. They're just focused on their own thing.
Okay. And it's interesting how we all have such defined concepts of the douchebag. So this is clearly something that is somewhat universal. I would say that the way douchebags talk amongst themselves about other women is they're always talking about women as a collection of body parts. There's nothing to do with the person's personality, the woman's personality. It's all about discussion or rating of body parts. And they say this because my experience has been, as somebody who speaks up when I hear that and say, what are you doing? That they're doing this because they think that this is a pure testosterone behavior, that any other man who wants to be seen as a man will respond in kind and will respond favorably to women being reduced to body parts. And whenever you say that's not cool, they are quick to sort of scamper back from it. But you can tell a bunch of douchebags are together because they're also insecure that they all reward that kind of conversation and participate in it because they all want to be seen by the other person as being overtly masculine. And those who are, adults like men, not boys, but men, don't feel the need to get validation on their masculinity from other people. But these are not people who are emotionally well-developed, I would say. And then there's the kind of women that they tend to be attracted to or the type of girlfriends they tend to have. I'll hold back my comments and go to you guys. First, we'll go to Aaron. Is there a type of woman that a douchebag likes to have on their arm?
Now that's an interesting question. I wasn't expecting that angle. Because the way I was thinking that you were going to go with this is, who does the douchebag usually attract? Which is a little different from who does the douchebag like. If I'm trying to sort of think into the mind of the douchebag, I would go back to what we were talking about earlier about targeting weaker people. And if the douchebag is looking to feel powerful, then I would imagine the douchebag would want somebody who is both submissive and, more importantly, acknowledges their submissiveness and sort of shows emotion. The kind of, well, bluntly, girl you can make cry. I can imagine if you're trying to take a power position in a relationship, that's the one you would want. But if I think about douchebags in reality, like certainly in the communities that I've been a part of, it's almost an ecosystem where it's a give and take, where there's a woman who, and you can sort of know how to play the douchebag a little in the sense that you can manipulate the person's neediness and you can see past the dominance behaviors and the woman can almost take advantage of them. So I've seen in my 20 years of adulthood a variety of just strange relationships where you can see that both people know what's going on and they sort of like to play the game. The douchebags that I know, that's the type of woman that they end up with. The ones that say, okay, I see your little game, and I kind of like playing it too.
Okay. Chris?
I think a douchebag is going to attract a woman who has low self-esteem, maybe a woman who has been in an abusive relationship before and has had problems with males dominating her. That would be my angle on it. I tried to not associate with too many douchebags, though, so I don't really see this in action, but that would be my perception of it. Douchebag certainly isn't going to attract a strong, empowered female who asserts her position and exerts her intelligence. That's for certain. But, like I said, I don't associate with too many of them, so tough for me to make the call on that one.
Interesting. I have a book somewhere here that was sent to me at some point called Hot Chicks with Douchebags. And it's just photographs after photograph after photograph of hot chicks with douchebags. It's actually quite funny, but it was not funny as somebody took the time to put that together. Ryan.
Well, I think the douchebag typically attracts the daughter of douchebag. You look at women who were treated badly and don't know any different when they were growing up. Their moms were likely treated badly as well. The desire to find approval from a bad person is typically where we see where I see that kind of relationship coming from is people who don't they don't value themselves and they accept themselves being treated badly.
Okay, and Paul.
Yeah, this is a tough one to comment about because you're trying to put yourself into the mind, and then, you know, you're trying to, this is a difficult one to comment on, but the, you know, I would say that start with sort of the broader concept of shallowness, not being really engaged in your world, just worried about things, and looks and presentation. And that, those are characteristics of the douchebag that are also characteristics of the person the douchebag seems to attract, and who is attracted to the douchebag. So I would just say shallow, obsessed with thinking that they deserve the best things and obsessed with things and wanting to present that in the conspicuous consumption way and making sure that the world knows that they are the best and have the best things. And that's what they're focused on. So, you know, not focused on, you're not going to find too many English professors who are douchebags because they certainly can't be focused on things because they're never going to, you know, they're never getting those things as an English professor.
No, yeah, they're just arrogant assholes.
They can be, but that's a, you know, a different issue.
A different thing. I often find, I mean, all these things are true, and I also find that douchebag men often attract and are attracted to women who are the flip side of them, in the sense of they're the female version of a douchebag. They put a premium on how they look. Usually it's a lot of makeup. Often you will find, I think douchebags are very attracted to fake breasts, like big, large fake boobs. Anything that seems like somebody is, the woman is outwardly performing in a way to seem hyper feminine and will look good on the guy's arm. That's what they primarily look for. Not so much any kind of sharing of common interests or any kind of, coming together as people. It's more about what they look like and how what the person on their arm reflects to other people. So the douchebag guy wants the girl on his arm who is very clearly sending out a message that I care mostly about my looks and I spend a lot of time making myself look good for my man. And the female is with the guy saying, look, I'm with this guy who's hyper masculine. That makes me hyper feminine. I'm queen bee because this guy's got the muscles and this guy's got the tan and he's got his shirt open, showing what confidence he has in his masculinity. And so it's almost a symbiotic relationship there. It's like sea anemones and coral. They each get something from it and they're each using the other person for something. And it isn't really a relationship founded in any kind of shared affection. It's more surface. It's more primal in the sense that it's mostly about sex. But you see them and you look at them and any guy who's ever told his significant other, I think you should get bigger breasts. Hey, I'll pay for them. That is permanent life douchebaggery. I mean,
be on their T-shirt. They should be required to, after they've said that, it should be somehow public so we all know it. Because then that would be the ultimate way of identifying a douchebag, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you've got like 100% chance you're a douchebag right there.
Oh, I mean, 100%. I remember we were in Calgary and we were doing a tour of Alberta, clubs and stuff. And there's one club that brought us out there, had a few locations. And the guy took us out for dinner beforehand. And he would gain favor with me when he said basically that it's company policy that if the women have been with the company for 6 months, the company will pay for them to get breast enlargements. And he was smiling like it was the coolest thing. Like, you know, isn't this amazing? And I couldn't disguise my disgust. Yes. So that guy is 100% a douchebag. So I think we've identified some very specific characteristics of douchebags, both in how they look and how they behave and also in how they think and how they speak. So for those of you out there, if you've just discovered that you are in fact a douchebag or that you are on the event horizon of becoming a douchebag, you'd have the opportunity to pull yourself away from that if you choose to. If you're really a douchebag, you'll say that the rest of us are just pussies. And
losers.
You're the real man. Yeah. Yeah, because we can't handle real men. And why would you want us to handle you is another story altogether. But there is definitely an organism in our society that is known as a douchebag. And now we've identified it. So for women out there, if you don't know what douchebags are like or signs that someone is a douchebag and you don't want to get mixed up with a douchebag, now you have some idea of the things to look for, the hallmarks to look for as to whether the person you're talking to or interested in is in fact a douchebag. So I want to thank everybody for joining me. I want to also wish Hafiz Noorani, our producer, a speedy recovery. It almost seems silly to wish it speedy now because it hasn't been quick. He's been out for a few weeks now after knee surgery and hasn't felt right about participating because he's on is in a good deal of pain. We wish him the best and thank him for putting the show together. I want to thank Ryan Ballantyne. Thank you, Ryan.
Pleasure as always. Happy to be back.
And where can people find you on social media?
If you're looking to find me, it's at BBCanRyan. As a former Big Brother Canada contestant, that was the handle they gave me, and that's where most people can find me and where I do all my tweeting. And it's just generically all police brutality videos right now, but there's sometimes a laugh or two to be found as well.
That's an interesting mix of things. Aaron Seal, where can people find you on social media?
So on Twitter, it's 8 letters, Aaron with 1A, Seal, all in one word. And for the business, it's cfusion.ca. Kits of tools to make edibles at home, which hopefully I will be able to get produced despite the current conditions, which are causing trouble to entrepreneurs everywhere, as we know.
Yes, of course. Chris Hamilton, where can people find you?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Stephen. Now you can find me at instagram.com/illtonesmusic, facebook.com/illtonesmusic, and youtube.com/illtonesmusic.
Okay, there's consistency there. And of course, Paul Doroshenko, one of the leading lawyers out on the west coast of Canada. Where can people get a hold of you?
Well, of course, you know, the problem is my last name is long and difficult, but it's if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Paul Doroshenko, so Doroshenko on Twitter. But when you go there these days, you'll find that most of my tweets are just about the fact that I've misplaced my cowboy hat.
Okay.
I can't find my best hat.
If only
you're
they
really
could have a
your
thing
country
like
music career right now, eh?
Well, it's you know, I shot some video last night and I had to use a different hat and I'm worried that people are going to see that I'm inconsistent and you know, I just don't want to be inconsistent. I'm quite upset about it.
Well, you'll have to continue wearing this hat now. This is the new hat.
Well, I think there's a hat store in Merritt, which is about a 3-hour drive, so I think I'm going to drive up to Merritt.
How do you lose a cowboy hat? It's not exactly small like losing your keys.
Hey, trust me, I do not know. I have no idea how I lost my cowboy hat. My only thought is maybe I left it on the roof of my car, roof of my truck, or something along that line, but I really don't know. And so I've moved on to my seconder hat, and it's just not the same.
Well, maybe you can start an opportunity to start a new business. The same way I have for my phone, there's a service, Find My Phone, when I've lost it. Maybe you can do it, Find My Hat.
I've been thinking that. I've been, you know, I have considered that some sort of GPS hat finding service, and I'm thinking I will probably invest my life savings into that.
Okay, and I just want to add also that if you hear a person saying not bro but bra, absolute instant douchebaggery. All right, and Paul, they can find you. You say your name is long and hard. It's actually not. It's spelled the way that it sounds, Doroshenko. And I'm Stephen Kersner. You can find me at Stephen J. Kersner, Stephen the kind of the V. And again, encouraging you to please contribute to help build our war chest here at FU Network. We need it because we need it. Equipment that needs to get fixed. We have initiatives we want to keep going and want to build on, and we need you to do that because we don't have the big corporate support and corporate control that big media does. We are more personal media and personable media. So please consider helping us out with a buck or two at Patreon, patreon.com/FUNetworkTV, and that's a monthly subscription that starts at just $1. And if you want to contribute a one-time support, that's at PayPal, which you direct to our email address, funetworktv@gmail.com. And I'm Stephen Kersner for Hafiz Noorani, who's not with us, and for our panel. Thank you for joining us. We will be back again next week with more mensplaining here on Fun the FU Network. For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say all of us.
This is Fun, the FU Network.